Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Hug by Default. I'm Dark Soundwave. With me tonight is Ratchet 412162.
Hello, Internet, and Dark Soundwave, you are a bastard as always.
Truth hurts, don't it? With us as well is a brand new cast member, Bergie 412162.
Hey, hey.
And our special guest is The Gargoyle Man from YouTube. Yay.
Hi. I've just unsolidified. Also, my YouTube channel is known as Cellmate 412162 because Gargoyle Man was taken a number of times.
Well,
but it happens.
Shit. Leave it to YouTube, eh? All right. Yeah. Well, tonight's episode is something we actually neglected to speak about back in the first episode. I'm not sure if many people remember this, but we mentioned that arcade games were pretty much dead. Which, in reality, is, well, it's a false truth, in my own opinion.
Generally speaking.
Generally speaking, of course. And, well, we decided because, hey, Gargoyle Man has his own opinions about arcade systems and gaming, that we'd actually
do a little
bit of debate thing.
Exactly. Well, to my experience about arcades, they've always been a part of my childhood and teen years growing up. And, you know, one of my favorite places was a place called Family Fun Zone. It was like heaven, big time. It had all arcades, modern arcades. My favorite arcade game I played by far was, I don't know if you play this game or not, it's called War of the Final Assault. Believe it or not, it's a first-person shooter arcade game, which is very uncommon.
Go right ahead.
Okay, it's not very common. Do you see a first-person shooter, you know, arcade game out there? It was my favorite, second to the TMNT arcade game. But becoming in the turn of the millennium, a sad thing happened in the U.S. I know in Japan they're still going on somehow, but in the U.S. they decline, and now the consoles have taken over. From what I heard, the biggest nail in the coffin, I don't know if this is fully accurate, but from what I heard, it's you know, online gaming that killed arcades. I don't know if that's 100% true or not. What do you think?
Personally, because I hate to say this, but the Xbox Live Arcade, it has online games, and as we all know, a lot of them are good and a lot of them suck, but it's
about 50-50.
About 50-50. I mean, you still have to pay no matter what money for them and to actually play them, but a lot of them are pretty good. It revives the spirit of the original arcade.
Yeah.
That's true. Look at the 1980-something TMNT game that they pumped out on the arcade.
I think.
Like their first arcade game, I think it was. On the 360. And that was really a perfect clone. Even though it's a clone, an exact replica, but still, it's a little bit better. They've improved the controllability. Unlimited lives, hey. For $8?
Of course. That's the advantage. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like that. But in about the old days of the arcades, one thing I like back then is, you know, is that you go out, you solidify. You go out, you socialize, and you know, you meet friends out, and you know, you get fresh air while going outside. Well, ever since they fell, the problem is that with online gaming, it has greatly increased the number of couch potatoes. Seriously,
not that it's a new thing.
I mean, they've been around since TVs, but since online gaming came, how many couch potatoes have grown? A lot.
Zero, actually.
Well, hold on. With that being said, though, the internet's been around to the public since 1992.
Oh.
And gaming's been around since 1992 for online games. So you really can't say that now it's starting to kill people when...
And I'm sorry, I gotta add this. Online gaming, such as Counter-Strike, has been around since, as if I'm not mistaken, late 90s, early 2000s.
Late
90s.
Yeah, and pretty much you would have to keep that into account, games like Counter-Strike, because that's around the time when computers became powerful enough to play those games.
Exactly.
And I hate to say it like this, but the arcade spirit has never died. Look at Xbox.
True.
They released the Game Room to honor the previous generation games. They are honoring Konami, Activision, Atari, the old school game companies that we knew and loved back then. They are honoring
them. Hands down,
tradition
that is true.
Keeping their original style and everything.
And
I agree. I totally agree.
And on top of that, for the couch potato remark, there are actually now arcade games that are basically pumped out to the extreme. I mean, look at games like, well, Dance Dance Revolution.
Hell, Taiko Drum. The Taiko Drum game.
Yeah, I'm
Guitar
personally...
Hero. They're telling kids, go out and play this. I mean, originally Guitar Hero came out in the arcades as, I think it was Guitar Maximum in Japan.
Oh. I think it came out like '96 or something. But I remember one thing. Even in the mid-90s, okay, even though the internet came in '92 to the public widely, and then, you know, and there was still online gaming on, it was still limited to PCs. In the mid-90s, from what I know, when I bought the PlayStation, it was their first attempt at making it to home consoles, but it was a very brutal and awkward and expensive way of doing it. The link cable, which was you have to buy another PlayStation or hope someone else, a friend has a PlayStation and you link up to two. It was like in its infancy, but it wasn't perfected among home consoles until the Dreamcast came. So that's probably when it started.
That's because the Dreamcast was the first one that actually had a modem.
Hell, even still, by today's standards, the Dreamcast is far superior to the 360, the PS3, and the Wii.
And on top of that, they even still support the Dreamcast in some places.
Hell, the Dreamcast is still alive and burning.
Exactly. You know,
I wish mine was still alive.
I have mine too, but I have to say one thing. No offense to the Dreamcast, I love the system, but damn, you brought the final nail in the coffin to the arcades.
No,
and number
you
two.
Haven't.
No.
Oh.
Not really. Actually, if anything, I mean, pardon me for us to kind of burn our fuel to talk about, but what kind of really killed arcades, I'd hate to say this, and kids, you're going to come after me, but dumbass kids.
Well, in reality, yes, it was children that did it, unfortunately, because in the early, about 95 is when the arcades started declining in popularity because things were going around there, such as drugs, alcohol, and little children were getting near them. And as impressionable young minds are, I like
this. Actually, correction, they've gotten near them a much earlier time. I'll tell you one thing. In the mid-90s, one thing that was keeping arcades going, if I remember correctly, was still the popularity of simulations. Like, you know what I mean? Like motorcycle games you race with, you have cockpit view, that kind of stuff. They were still ruling in the mid-90s, simulations. Even in the mid-90s, arcade games had Dreamcast-like power. You've seen House of the Dead. House of the Dead, that's like 1996. And it had Dreamcast power before it even was released.
Well, that was
because the arcades had bigger space.
That's House of the Dead was still a Sega game.
Yes.
Which generally proves that Sega, if they didn't release Dreamcast early like they did, they still would have been around today. They still would be pumping out consoles.
True.
We would probably be seeing a Dreamcast 2 or something like that.
Yeah, we'd probably be seeing by now Dreamcast 360. Or Dreamcast Sphere, whatever.
Yeah. One thing about the Dreamcast, I hope you guys don't believe this, but I remember there was an episode on when G4 used to be good, called Icons about the Dreamcast. There was an overhyped, overrated story about the PlayStation 2 killing the Dreamcast, and all because it had the DVD thing. But you know what? That story is horse crap. Seriously.
Well, if the Dreamcast came out later on when the PS2 came out, Dreamcast would have killed the PS2 because simply, if they let the technology settle in with people, and instead of releasing it early like they did with the Sega CD and all that, they would have still been around. It would have killed the PS2.
Mm. Plus,
at the time, the Dreamcast had quite literally 8 DVD.
True. But let me explain one thing here about why that story about the PS2 killing Dreamcast is false. Number one, first of all, where do I begin? Oh, yeah. When the PlayStation 2 came out, it did not have, you know, the modem to play internet until late 2002. You had to buy it and install it in. And number two,
when then they released a similar one which came with the modem.
And number two, another reason why that story is false is because when I bought the PlayStation 2 in 2001, they soon later started having problems that cropped up, discrete errors of failures.
Oh, yeah.
That happened with mine, and I heard it happened. It was common with the initial PS2 models. And the redesign ones didn't come, like, until 2003 or, you know, around then. They had to make a redesign one to fix that problem.
How common was it? Because, I mean, I never experienced mine with, like that, and
well,
I got
a lot
mine
of
in 2001.
Didn't, though. It was one of those things of very few people experienced them, and they got a refund for their PS2.
Actually, I had that happen to my PS2, but I must say that for as much as I used it, it was a good machine, and it never died, which is one of the reasons why, I mean, even though I love my 360, I think that the PS2's hardware design is much more superior than the 360.
True. That's
yeah, I mean, the PS2's design is... It's still solid. I mean, Sony's still supporting the, whatchamacallit, the online play for the PS2 still, because they realize the PS3 actually sucks online. And I hate to say this, I know a lot of people here are PS3 fans, but
yeah,
the PS3 lacks in compatibility with the internet.
Wow.
I wouldn't say that. Actually, I wouldn't say that.
I
as
never
a PS3
knew that.
Owner, as a PS3 owner, I would not say that. However, it does not have the support that Xbox Live has. Like, I mean, if you're going to log into an online game, you literally have to look for the server yourself rather than the system matching you with compatibility on your skill level and your ranking system. So,
yeah.
Pretty much SOL on that. And 9 times out of 10, when I play Warhawk, the server's always full. And I got to find,
wow.
I got to sit there manually looking for a, you know, an empty server or, you know, with enough people to actually get a good game going. And, you know, it's just a pain in the ass, but that's the only drawback. Other than that, it works beautifully.
Yeah, I mean,
What about the slim models of the PS3?
I haven't tried it out. I got the original one. They got the 600 gig one that came out. I think in 2008, that's when I bought mine. And that was right after they got rid of the first generations.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing with... the PS3 is, I hate to say this for the PS3 fanboys, but I know people are going to get mad at me. The original ones, they blew up. They still blow up.
Wow.
Their fans are not as close together as they should, so, well, it overheats. And unfortunately causes a backlash in the processor, which causes the explosion. So...
Are you saying literally explode? Is that what you mean, literally?
Some of them have literally exploded.
Is that why they got rid of the backwards compatibility?
Mm-hmm. The backwards compatibility caused the explosions.
Oh, that's fucking stupid.
If I remember right, they were trying to read certain PS1 games. Final Fantasy VII caused explosions.
No, wait a minute. You can play PS1 games on it.
Well,
but
yeah,
you can't
but you
play PS2.
The later
you can
models,
play PS2.
I mean, the later ones.
No, I haven't been able to play PS2 on mine.
Well, it depends. Some PS2 games weren't compatible with the PS3. For example, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 were not compatible, which pissed a lot of people off.
I gotta go out and find my PS2 games and try this out on my PS3 because every time I put in a PS2 game, it just didn't work. So
I mean, it's like with the 360. A lot of the Xbox games weren't compatible with the new technology,
mm-hmm.
which unfortunately caused a lot of people like, "Oh, I'm pissed now."
Then again, I bought some PS1 games to play on my an emulator while I was in Iraq, and I tested them out on my PS3 and. Nuclear Dawn, Spec Ops, all work like a charm.
We do not support emulation games unless it's a ROM hack.
Okay, check this out. I was in Iraq. All I had was my PC.
I understand that, but it's one of those things of we don't support ROM hack. Yeah,
I understand that, but you know what? I was in a land where pirated movies were the only source of entertainment. So I had to resort to that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, fans. Yuck. I'm sorry, people. Listeners, I'm sorry, but that's just the way I lived for 2 years. So.
I don't blame you. Well, for me, unfortunately, I'm not a big movie watcher these days. Nowadays, I finally ever, you know, barely ever try to watch a movie because I usually want to keep myself active. It's hard for me to just sit down and just look at the TV. But, I mean, I used to be more of a TV watcher when I was younger, and you know. and during my teen years, and just for some reason, I think, I don't know if it's age or not, but for some reason, I just don't find myself just sitting down watching a TV. I mean, the only rare times I ever watch TV is usually when my parents want to invite me to watch a movie on the theaters, or my friends, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. I just, well, I'm more of a game player,
well,
than, you know.
Yep, and yeah, this is why most of us have Netflix.
I agree with you on that. Anyways, we need to keep focusing on the main topic at hand here, arcade systems. We lost track a bit.
Yep.
Oh, sorry about that.
Basically, the arcade spirit is still alive, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, hey, arcades are dead. Nobody cares about them. Look at Sega's new arcade game line, the DreamWorks. What the hell? GameWorks. If anyone's been there, you'll know right off the bat that this is a true definition arcade. This is...
Oh, yeah.
It's quite literally an arcade with a bar. Indeed. And a bar and everything added on. It's staying true to the style of old games. There are some old Namco games. There have been a bunch of brand new games that I had no idea ever existed.
Wait, did you play the Quick Draw game over there?
Yeah, I played that.
Oh, that was sweet.
How is that?
Oh, it's awesome.
Actually fun, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, if anything, I would have to say as well, the arcade spirit kind of evolved with us, the last generation that loved these arcades, because look at places like that and Dane and Buster's and all the like bar/restaurant/arcade places. If you take a look at any of those places, it imbibes the spirit of what an arcade was for us.
Hell, Chuck E. Cheese. And there you go.
Yeah, so, we grew up with Chuck E. Cheese, yeah. And now time. We're adults. We got, yeah, David Buster's, you know?
Exactly.
That's where
that DreamWorks,
the '89 arcade game.
I mean, we've got everything nowadays. We're most human beings. It's our thing to judge technology-wise, essentially. And, well, unfortunately, we have to deal with the online gaming situations with, well, they're unfortunately little kids that need to learn how to shut their mouths. But hey, if you can get past that, the arcade is still alive in every game. For example, let's look at Modern Warfare 2. Back in the beginning, I remember the very beginning of the first-person shooters in the arcade. They all had the elements of Modern Warfare 2.
Including War of the Final Assault, right?
Yeah, exactly. Their Mech Warrior, first released in the arcade, that's coming back strong and alive again. There's a thing called Virtual World. I'm not sure if anyone has seen this, but it's a Mech Warrior.
Hmm.
It's really interesting. There are a few. They're not known everywhere. Off the top of my head, they're mostly in California. Spread across the country itself, but they actually have these machines where you can pay. Let's see if I can pull off the top of my head. Let's go to the one in Washington. Kirkland, Washington, the airlock has one. The pricing for these things, well, non-members, you can pay for $200. You can get 70 missions. You can play 70 missions within this game itself. And it can take you up to 8 pilots can partake in a mission at once. Each mission consists of 7 to 10 minutes of gameplay, piloting a battle mech of your choice, and you can build one yourself.
And how realistic is this? Is it like as realistic like the space shuttle simulator, that kind of stuff?
Well, looking at this, it's you're piloting a giant mech. How realistic is that going to be?
But oh, yes.
But basically, the cockpit itself, from what I've seen, it looks very realistic.
Cool.
They put you in like this cockpit itself.
Well, I've never seen those. I just wish I could experience that. That is just incredible.
Oh, hell, they went to Akon in June, and it looked, from what I saw, it looked pretty good. I mean, they have betas and everything for this game. This is a fully developed game for people to enjoy. There's pods that you sit in and enjoy. And they're all linked to each other, which it's basically LAN gaming at its best.
With online, you said, linked to each other. Is that what you mean?
They're, from what I can see, they're linked together through a LAN cable.
Oh.
And you play with your buddies that way, which really doesn't sound bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, from what I can see, the pod itself moves as you move. It's a simulation entirely.
I see.
Finally, something perfected. I remember when me and Bergie went to Vegas, and there were one of those kinds of simulators, except this one basically gave you a laser tag vest, a VR helmet, and put you in a hamster ball.
Pretty much, yeah.
I hated
yep.
that thing.
Except that kind of failed, because, well, the technology there wasn't exactly perfected.
Inertia was what killed it. You can walk forward, yeah. All of a sudden stop, and you're still keeping going, so you're falling flat on your face in this giant hamster ball, trying to regain your equilibrium, and it's just bad. It's terrible.
I mean, oddly
it
enough...
Sounds like it sounds like it didn't pass beta testing the way it sounds.
Yeah, I mean, this game is practically all fully done. They're doing Mech Pack 3.1's launch recently, open Mech Pack 4 beta to follow up soon. They're making this perfect. I mean, so from what I've seen, this game has been around for 20 years.
Whoa.
Like, this thing started 20 years ago. And I'm going to give them a shout-out. Their next events, the Virtual World Invitational, the 20th VWE's 20th anniversary celebration in South Haven, Michigan. If anyone's near South Haven on the 20th... Oh, well, it ends tomorrow. Whoops. Well... 26th to the 29th to 2010, you can pilot these things out, have fun, and actually enjoy this game. It looks very nice and well-developed. And yeah, there's my shout-out for the day.
So where do you have to go to find these places? Not just an ordinary obscure arcade place. Where do you have to go again?
Let me get the thing stop scrolling. There are two in California. There's Modesto Virtual in Modesto, California. Playground, Rolling Hills Estates, California. In Colorado. Mr. Big's Family Fun Center, with the MapQuest reference, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Michigan, there's two of them. Ultimate Land Experience, Grand Rapids, Michigan. 21st Century, sorry, Comics and Games, East Lansing, Michigan. New Mexico, if it stops scrolling. Hinko Family Fun Center, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Try to say that four times fast. Texas. X-Max Games, Dallas, Texas. Mech Corps, Google Maps reference here. Houston, Texas. And in Washington, The Airlock in Kirkland, Washington.
Cool.
So yeah, eventually... Eventually I'm probably going to... call this out now, if we, after KomoriCon, which is the convention we're all going to, Ratchet, Bergie, myself, with some other cast members at the podcast who will be mentioned then, we're going to be probably on the way home. We're going to check out Kirkland, Washington, see if we can find this place, given time frame, if Bergie can drive us all the way to Kirkland, Washington, so we can actually see how well this thing works.
No, I'm game.
I mean, hey, we've got a day to kill before Ratchet has to go back on the plane.
True.
The plane, boss.
This should be the next step for arcades if they're going to make, you know, the real comeback for arcades to stay and not suffer what happened in the beginning of the 2000s, you know. This has to be the main focal point.
Yeah, this probably is going to save arcades because this thing looks entirely realistic. I wouldn't mind checking this out. There will be a link for those who will be... well, listen to this podcast in the description below. Yeah, it looks pretty good. And they go to conventions. They bring these things to the conventions. So who knows? Maybe they'll be heading to KomoriCon.
Please come to KomoriCon.
I don't want to have to go to Kirkland, Washington to check you guys out.
Where is Kirkland, Washington, anyway?
Near Seattle. That's all I know.
All right.
But, I'm going to call this one good. Oh, before we leave, we have a sad note, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I would like to take this one. Just recently, a very good man in anime, and yes, I know we're called otaku by default and barely talk about anime, but
certainly.
Right now, a man of great note has died recently.
Who is it?
His name is Satoshi Kon. Anyone who's really an anime knows this guy. He did Deep Blue. He did Tokyo Godfathers. He did Millennium Actress. More recently, Paprika. And he has one more movie that he was working on that will get finished. But recently, the man has died of pancreatic cancer.
Ouch.
So, for anybody listening and for us right now, please give a moment of silence.
And for those of you listening to our podcast, we thank you all for listening to our show. Please feel free to send us an email at otakubydefault.com. Damn it.
Otakubydefault@yahoo.com.
I'm Dark Soundwave. With me tonight was Ratchet 412162, Bergie 412162, and the Gargoyle Man. From us, we wish the family of Satoshi Kon our most heartfelt sincerity. We are sorry for your loss, and the anime community itself has been harmed greatly because of his loss. We hope his great works will continue on. Maybe his son or his family will continue his work.
And will remain in good hands.
And we know that, unfortunately, even though he passed away, that he is in a better place, surrounded by the characters he loved and he grew up with by drawing. And with that, we now call this podcast a good night. Good night, world. And with that said, you all just lost the game. Have a great night.